Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now.
When Sherry and I recorded the Dead Nettle episode last week, it was a beautiful spring day. 2 days later, we had a snowstorm bigger than any of the winter season that had just ended. March is tricky here in New York's Adirondack Mountains, and it's not a surprise to have snow in April. What made last weekend's snow upsetting to me is the contrast to the very warm winter we had. Climate change is always on my mind, and I wonder how our seasonal celebrations will change when Earth's cycles are irreversibly altered. All I can do now is keep tuning in to what is true right now. Staying present to the earth's mood is something I do fairly automatically now, thanks to my shamanic Reiki training. Through all 3 years of master teacher training, before we did anything, we were reminded to check in. Body, heart, earth. When I was new to it all, it was perfunctory. There's an ache in my shoulder. I'm kind of sad today. It's raining. That's where you're expected to start. With practice, it becomes, my body is tight from overstimulation. The calm emotions I'm projecting to the world are masking deep grief. And there's a frenzied feel to the earth that the snowstorm didn't dampen. I very rarely share what I sense in the many moments throughout the day I check in, body, heart, earth. Mostly they're brief, no more than a breath, to recenter, especially when I'm in my head and overwhelmed, which is a near constant state for me lately. If you have a Reiki 2 or above attunement and some shamanic journeying experience, and are too much in your head or out there somewhere with your practice, join me for the virtual Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner Training that begins on Wednesday, April 3rd. The link's in the show note, but the most important thing you'll find on that page and all the pages on my website is the little blue chat button in the bottom corner. Seriously, hit me up with your questions about Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner and how it can help experienced Reiki practitioners radically evolve with shamanic techniques rooted in the power of nature. And if you're just considering venturing onto the path of energy work or shamanism, let me know you're curious. For real, let's have a conversation. So back to the earth and her beings and the mood they're all in now. Never mind the snowstorm. When spring arrived last week, it got crazy out there. The birds are loud, loud, loud when I'm out in the morning for meditation. The air buzzes with their energy. I added a couple of tube-style feeders for the goldfinches, but it's the pine siskins who have arrived that make the most of the racket. The blue jays are always around, and they're loud in their own way, but these little birds are so freaking just alive and pushing their vibes into the space. Honestly, I wish I felt as confident with my own energy. I've had to shore up my shielding a couple of times this week. And if you're like, what is she talking about? Go back and listen to episode 149. The word I use to describe the energy of early spring and Ostara season is potential. I'm going to share more about Ostara lore and stuff, but this is the juicy part. And it's the part you need to tune into the earth for, because that energy may not just pop into the place on the spring equinox. Depending on how far from the equator you are, this might have happened a month ago, or like here, it's just getting started. The arrival of the birds who went south for the winter is a sign to start really paying attention. That's why I say each of these sections of the wheel of the year is a season. It's not like you do something for Ostara and then you're done till Beltane. Syncing up with the Earth's seasonal cycle is a daily practice. And remember, I'm in the Northern Hemisphere. So if you're on the other side of the globe, you're feeling something completely different. All right, let's talk about Ostara. In the Northern Hemisphere, Ostara is the vernal equinox and the first day of spring. The equinox marks the time when day and night, light and dark, are most balanced. After that, there's more daylight than dark, and it will keep increasing until the summer solstice. Ostara is usually celebrated on the astrological start of spring, when the sun moves into Aries. Aries is considered the beginning of the yearly astrological cycle. Spring is the season of birth and rebirth, growth and fertility, creativity and potential, and purification. Seeds and bulbs begin to sprout, even if they're still under the snow. Trees get buds. I just noticed them here, but it may have happened sooner where you are. Then they green up. One of the things I love about spring is the many shades of green that exist all at the same time. By summer, everything starts to look monochromatic, but now there is the yellow-green of the new leaves against the dark of the evergreens. There might even be flowers. Sherry lives about 300 miles south of me, and her magnolia tree is blooming. If you're in the Shamanic Flow Circle Facebook group, share your flowering tree pictures with us, please. Unless they're Bradford pears, in which case you should cut them down and burn them. Then you can grow a non-invasive native that actually supports the ecosystem. But I digress. I mentioned the birds calling loudly for mates and the palpable surge of vitality. That creative energy is something you can tap into this season. It's the potential to manifest, the potential to bring something new into being. Maybe that's why I'm feeling so touchy about capitalism and the systemic unwillingness to do anything about climate change. I know, but if there's anything this season brings up, it's the energy of newness, and I can't help tapping into the potential for something better than this political and economic quagmire we're in. Okay. Like the Christian Easter, Ostara is symbolized by spring things like baby animals, eggs, seedlings, and the early flowers that emerge from bulbs such as crocuses and tulips. These symbols represent new life and affirm the hope we've cultivated at Imbolc. Many of us are starting seeds now. Not me, because I'm not good at growing plants and usually let the experts do the hard part, but people like Sherry and maybe you. I'm pretty good at symbolic planting, though. A couple of years ago, in preparation for ceremony, I pulled on that thread of hope from Imbolc, added creative intentions for spring, and the theme of planting to create an Ostara ritual that felt empowering. Then set that aside to work on other things until the equinox got closer. A few days after I wrote that ritual, Russia invaded Ukraine, and suddenly the context for hope and intentions expanded well beyond individual desires. What if, in that ceremony, we planted an intention for world peace? Was that too big? I wondered then, and still do, if such lofty intentions would have the effect of being ultimately disempowering. After all, some humans have been wishing for peace, as well as slightly less ambitious things like an equitable response to climate change, hint, hint, for a long time, without seeing much movement in that direction. Even those of us with a big reserve of hope can feel discouraged. In the end, I decided to go big for the 2022 Ostara ritual. Did we fix it? No, at least not yet. But we have the potential to be powerful change makers, and our magic should reflect and reinforce that. What we plant matters, not because we'll immediately be rewarded, but because the collective force of shared intentions will eventually reach a critical mass. Combining our power and potential is, after all, why we come together for ritual. So back to this year. My wildlife rehabilitator friends are getting ready or have already started baby season, when the orphaned animals come in. Squirrels and bunnies are the first babies we usually see. And speaking of bunnies, let's get back to Ostara. Rabbits and hares, especially, are associated with the spring equinox. It started in Europe with the Germanic goddess of spring, Jostr. It's believed that the European hare had a lot to do with that, too. The males, or bucks, are nocturnal and are rarely seen except during March, the height of their mating season, when they're out all day and getting into boxing matches with each other, which is where the phrase, mad as a March hare, comes from. The story of Jostr, which isn't very ancient but does date back to the 19th century, says that she transformed a bird into a hare, and the hare responded by laying colored eggs for her festival. Whether that's the origin of the Easter Bunny or a reclaiming of it is debated and doesn't matter. The story itself is an example of the creative potential we've been putting to use to shape our worldview. Rabbits, in general, are associated with spring's fertility because of their reproductive strategy of having multiple litters every year. Really, I find reasons to feel awe in learning the sciencey stuff about animals. It is freaking magical out there. So anyway, female rabbits are reflex ovulators, which means they don't have a set time when they're in heat. Instead, they produce eggs in response to mating and are almost always receptive. Many rabbit species can get pregnant again right after giving birth, or even sometimes before. Yes, I said before. Like they are having babies and the next litter is already queued up. They can have up to 4 litters a year and up to 8 young per litter, which is a lot of rabbits, which is why there's a lot of rabbit energy out there. It's important to recognize the potential in all the life out there and take care not to cut it unnecessarily short. Everyone's like, it's spring, time to mow the lawn and rake the dead leaves and get the gardens turned over. And I'm telling you, slow down. Yeah, I know that energy is a big pull. But here's the thing. There are babies out there in the dead trees, in the lawn. There are insects under the leaves who will wake up too soon before their supportive flowers are blooming. Babies who were safely nesting in the brush pile you built up all winter will perish if you decide to burn it now. Just don't harm them, okay? You may not be ready to, but start thinking about killing your lawn if you have one. Get to know your local ecology and plant native instead. I believe the best thing you can do during Ostara season is to get out into that energy and let it spark your own creative potential. Whatever you've been reflecting on over the winter, whatever you started hoping for, this is the time to start bringing it into being. It doesn't have to be a great work of art or music or anything. Maybe you've got a craft project you've been thinking about. Maybe you want to start a business or rethink how you do your job or change something up at home. Whatever it is, now is the time to plant it and nurture it and tend it as it grows into the beautiful manifestation of your potential. As everything comes alive around you, enjoy Ostara season.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.